This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And haven't done a solo conversation for quite some time. Ben is coaching up there at in his alma mater, and I'm proud of him. But I could certainly use my wingman. So I brought my my very good friend Kenny Knowles, and he's been doing a little digging for information. We wondered why Tropicana Field's parking, that's not a baseball game, is absolutely jammed. I see all these young gymnasts walking by us here, 13th and Central. So what's going on over there today there, Kenny?
Well, today they've got the 35th annual Gasparilla Classic, which is claimed here as the world's largest gym meet. And they've got a women's and men's. And it looks like they have individual events all around and team trophies. So it looks like it's a pretty big event. I didn't realize they were having that.
Well, the lot's absolutely packed.
I know.
I thought, the Rays are playing the Twins today in Fort Myers. Maybe something happened and they moved the game up here. But no.
And they've got mats across the whole field out over there, and it looks like quite the event. Must be 1,000 people.
It's good for Fergs. Well, thank you very much, my friend. Yeah. That's Ken Knowles. He's my editor. He's my John Rager on the tee golf. If I make a mistake, I get informed of it, and that's about 1,000 a show. Anyway, we got a great second hour. We're going to talk to Peter Gollenbach here in a few. He's the esteemed author and our baseball guru, of course. Yankee flavor to a lot of his publications. Now he's there was a Rays. I think they call them members now, not ticket owner. Ticket holder. But first hour, I forgot to thank a lot of our great sponsors, Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages of Florida, of course, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here at 13th and Central, and all of our scores, conversations of that ilk, and this conversation are brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. Come on down and get yourself an Ice Pick Vodka. Bloody Mary, get yourself a Champa Bay. That's a great Ice Pick cocktail. And of course, our good friends at Coppertail Brewery, Shrimpies over at Shrimpies Waterfront, all great supporters of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and a new sponsor coming to the plate, El Cap, St. Petersburg iconic for. I'm sure you've been to El Cap there
every week,
Peter. Really, every week?
Sure.
I have not been there yet. Is it a classic?
Is it a classic? It's the classic.
It's been here.
There are two classics. One's Ferg's, the other's El Cap's. Those are the two classics.
Well, beautiful. Now I've got them both in my fold. And I'm looking forward to, we'll probably do it. Probably do a show over there. We'll bring you, since you know your way around the landscape. You really know your way around the landscape of baseball. And here it is, 2023, another season upon us. All kinds of changes to talk about. And of course, everybody on this particular date, well, maybe not till the end of the month, has hope for their club. This could be the year. We could make it to the playoffs. That's the beauty of sports, but we also know the realities too. So let's talk a little bit about the reality of where the Tampa Bay Rays are as they get prepared to start their 25th season.
Well, the reality is that the Tampa Bay Rays may very well be the best team in the American League. That's the reality. They got a pitching staff, knock your socks off. Glasnow, McClanahan, Rasmussen, Springs, this guy Effin, who I don't know an Effin bit about.
I like that.
And Baz, and this guy Patino, who they're talking about trading for a hitter. But you take that starting lineup, boy, that is tough, tough, tough to beat.
Well, here's Big O and the Axe Man. We've got the wisdom now. Now the youth will be coming in a little bit later. Okay, so you love that rotation.
Yep.
And we know how the Rays have managed
pitching and defense.
Precisely. let's talk about the changes that are taking place in baseball and your thoughts on them. Rule changes, the bigger first base, the bases.
I'll tell you what I think.
The shift.
The games are going to start and nobody will notice. That's what I think. The changes are minuscule. Some of them are a little bit silly. You make a base another 6 inches bigger. So maybe you get a few more steals because the bases are bigger. The only thing that I really, really like is that it used to take a pitcher 5 minutes between pitches. I mean, some of these guys were absolutely ridiculous. They'd get the ball, they'd scratch their head, they'd walk around the mound, they'd look at the catcher, they'd look in, brush their teeth, and then finally pitch. For the first time, we're going to go back to 1968 where you get the ball and you pitch. That's going to be good.
Well, the first offender in spring games was Manny Machado yesterday for the clock to get ready at the plate. And Manny Machado, he was good about it after
All right, what happened?
He was the first offender.
What did he do?
He wasn't ready. He wasn't in the box. And was it 9 seconds? I think it's nine seconds. And he wasn't prepared. He wasn't in the box. And he's the first official offender of that new rule.
How do you like that? And what'd they do to him? They call a strike?
They call a strike.
Call a strike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you like this, Lampy. The things you don't like, Ben Botham's not here because you two both can. I like some of your conversations. But the things you don't like is the Rays. Now, what do they call them? Memberships?
Yeah,
you're not a ticket holder.
That's
what are you now?
Well, I used to be a season ticket holder.
What are you now?
Now I'm garbage. I don't know.
No, you're. What they name it?
I have no idea. I don't know. I now have the right to buy tickets before everybody else. Big deal.
I thought it was something like members. You're a member.
I am a member.
Yeah. You weren't too happy when they made that announcement. I remember that.
Well, I used to sit up in the 300 section, section 300. Right behind home plate, it was the greatest seat in the entire stadium, and I was there for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, they decided, no more sitting up in the 300 section. Everybody will sit down below, because all the tickets down below are more expensive. So, they're no more season tickets. You now have the right to buy more expensive seats than you bought before.
Can you buy an entire season package, though? Can't you? Or you have to buy them in a box.
You buy them one at a time. Oh. You have the right to buy a ticket. What? You want to buy 81 tickets? Start with one, then two, then three.
I didn't understand that. I don't like that at all. Now I can see why you were upset. I don't like that at all.
I'm not upset. Look, there's an old expression. You can always love a baseball team, but it will never love you back. It's been true since I was a kid. Well, I mean, that's just the way it is.
When you were a kid, you were a Yankee fan, and now you migrated down here and you're a Rays. You still follow your Yankees. Of course, last year, Aaron Judge, and we had you on several times, being the author of how many Yankees-related books have you written?
Oh, my. Well, Dynasty was my first.
I was trying to call him
1975, and then I wrote The Bronx Zoo with Sparky Lyle. That came out in 79. That was
probably your most recognized book, would you say?
That and Teammates, which is about Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese.
Okay.
That's the other most recognized book. Then I wrote Number One with Billy Martin.
Gotcha.
Billy and I spent 9-10 months together writing that one. Then I wrote Balls with Greg Nettles. I wrote Guidry with Ron Guidry.
Mickey Mantle.
The Mickey Mantle novel, yeah, which is the book Mickey would have written had he been alive to work on the book with me. He had passed away, so I decided I would do it without him.
And then you ventured into, you did a book on the Cardinals, the Cubs.
Yeah, I did Cardinals, the Cubs, the Mets, the Brooklyn Dodgers. I think probably my best known of the team books that I wrote was Bums, which is about the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Which one did you enjoy writing the most?
I enjoy every single one of them.
Did you really?
I mean, Lou Gehrig, when he was dying, he went up and said, you know, I am the luckiest man on the face of this earth. But it wasn't Lou Gehrig. It really was me.
Well, and you're still making memories,
absolutely,
my friend.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. What book and I think we may have mentioned this before, was not in that baseball genre that, that you had success with, that, that you, you enjoyed.
Well, I've had a bunch of them there. I've had 10 New York Times bestsellers.
I knew that. I didn't know how many were
sports. Some of them were not baseball.
Okay.
I did a book with Jose Baez, who was the lawyer for Casey Anthony.
Gotcha. Yep.
The book was presumed guilty, was the book. She wasn't guilty. She was as innocent as could be. But that created quite a fervor when that thing came out.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did a book with Tony Curtis, the wonderful actor Tony Curtis.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I was out in Las Vegas.
What was he like?
He was wonderful. He was wonderful.
He should have been part of that Rat Pack.
We went to Robert Goulet's funeral out in Las Vegas, and we had such a good time.
He should have been part of that Rat Pack, Tony Curtis.
Well, he was. He was. He actually was. He was sort of the quiet part of with Frank Sinatra and all those guys, Dean Martin. He was part of that group. Yeah.
When he left
New York to go to Hollywood, the first woman he dated was Marilyn Monroe.
Who didn't date her?
Well, Tony was a very handsome guy.
Oh, absolutely. I love the stories about Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe right up here in...
Yeah, at the Thunderbird Hotel where they
Reddington
stayed.
Beach.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some great history there. And some of the history of how jealous Joe DiMaggio was. He was a raving... That's why Marilyn Monroe left him. He was just over-the-top jealous.
Well, it was worse than that, quite frankly. He struck her a couple of times.
Yeah, I did have some people that alluded to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So as you look at Aaron Judge's quest last year and
spectacular,
successful.
Absolutely spectacular. What a guy! He's the nicest guy in the world. It's amazing.
Yeah, I just saw him on Jimmy Fallon.
I saw it last night too. It was great.
But you take a look. You take a look at the pressure he went through last year.
Yep.
That success, is that rollover to even more enormous pressure in 2023?
It all depends on the media. When Maris hit his 61 home runs, Roger was hoping that the questions would be over with. He comes to spring training in 1962, and all the writers want to know is, do you think you can hit 62 home runs in 1962? They drove poor Roger crazy. But Roger was a very sensitive guy. Aaron Judge doesn't care. Aaron Judge will just be fine. He'll handle whatever comes his way. Won't be a problem.
And you got to know Roger Maris.
I did.
And his son was certainly very gracious towards Aaron Judge during that entire period.
Two sons, yes, yeah, absolutely right.
Knowing the pressure that their own father had gone through.
That's right.
And, of course, able to share some of those stories and their support for him.
Yeah, Roger was a lovely, lovely guy. I got to interview him for my book, Dynasty, the very first book.
All right, so let's go back and talk Rays. They open up against the Detroit Tigers here on the 30th. It's a Thursday, 3:10 first pitch, and we're going to have all kinds. We've got a radio station from Detroit coming down. I partnered up with them, so the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and the Michigan Sports Network. We're going to be set up for 5 hours right out here.
Fantastic.
We'll grab you. We're
you
gonna
can't
be grabbing.
Grab me. I'm going to be in Paris.
What would you rather be, Paris or on the radio with me before the opener at the Trop?
I'd rather be in Paris.
Well, of course. I was going to question Wendy. So how long are you going over to Paris?
10 days.
10 days, my man.
Yeah. I'll be back on the 8th. Back in my seat. Back in my seat in section 115 on the 8th.
Oh, section 115. Those are good seats.
Not bad.
How many did you buy?
I started with 10.
And you're gonna see how the season progresses. So you do think they have a chance to win the East?
Oh, I absolutely do. I absolutely do.
And you've been covering baseball for 50 years.
I'll tell you what. You've got the smartest front office that you could imagine. And every one of these teams keeps stealing our guys. Who's running Boston? One of our guys. Who's running Houston? One of the Rays guys. Who's running the Dodgers? He was the first one they took. Friedman from the Rays. We got Rays guys now all over the league.
We're just a farm system for a front office.
For executives.
Exactly.
Exactly right.
And they're going and getting paid a lot more.
They're paying a lot more. Yes, they are.
That's another factor.
Yes, but they don't get to live in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, well, they can travel here and get a condo here. What do you think about the move to have the $10 tickets?
I should have done it 20 years ago.
Exactly.
20 years ago, they should have done it.
I applaud them for that move.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
So Sugar Shane last year, they say if he would have continued at the pace he is on, he would have won the Cy Young. You take a look at that staff, so potential Cy Young award winner.
And Glasnow's a better pitcher than he is.
So
that's the amazing thing.
That's a lot of young depth
Boy.
In those arms.
Woo.
The real question, and Alex and I talked about this with Ben Botham, is can Franco stay healthy this year?
You got me. I mean,
I don't understand
this,
it.
All of this depends. All of this, what I'm saying here, depends on the people staying healthy. I mean, last year, Brandon Lowe, in my rotisserie draft, I paid $28 for him. In the first week of the season, he goes down. I mean, I had Meadows for $22. He's now with Detroit. He was one of our guys. He went down. I mean, when people get injured, it really, really affects your team in a terrible, terrible way.
Hey, fellas, I just want to let you know that Peter Gallenbach here is and his buddies, his sports writing pals up in New York, were the original fantasy sports
American League
guys.
Yeah.
Their rotisserie league back in the day.
1982.
So
1982.
And what's the pot at the end of the year, like $50?
Oh no, it's 12 teams, 700. Each team puts in 700. So
oh damn!
And you get half. You get half of $8,400 if you win.
Oh, so you've raised the bar over the years, yeah?
No, it's always been that way.
That was a big ticket back in the day, then, because okay. You guys were all making big money back in the day.
Well, I would say that 8 of the owners lose.
Exactly.
I've been playing in this league since 1984. I have won twice.
and you cover baseball for a living.
Not like these other guys do.
Absolutely.
When we first started out, some of our guys used to pretend they were newspaper reporters and call the general managers on the phone and ask them about their players.
That's definitely outside the line.
Yes, it is.
Well, Peter, thanks for coming down.
My pleasure.
Of course, they're down in Fort Myers today and Fort Myers tomorrow against the Red Sox, so we'll get a little flavor.
Can't wait till they come back and go see him in the trap.
Exactly. All right, you and Wendy have a great Saturday,
my friend. Thank you so much.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with Big O and the Axeman here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enable speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wave Maker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this 25th of February, a Chamber of Commerce Day here on February down on 13th and Central. Nice conversation with Peter Gollenbeck, the 10 times New York Times author, and he's just a cornucopia of baseball knowledge. I know that you appreciate that, Alex, with your generation. That's going to be you and Ben Botham.
Absolutely, the
guys that like that appreciate the history of the game as well.
Hey, I mean, baseball has evolved so much from where it began, but we have to look back on the roots. And so I actually have a good question for you, Mike. When you look at Babe Ruth compared to modern day athletes, what do you view him as? Because since he's considered most widely probably the best player of all time in baseball and one of the best athletes, but he's such a rarity, and he used to eat hot dogs and drink beers before games. And now we have, you know, the LeBrons and the Tom Brady's playing into their 40s with are so dedicated to their craft and their body. So where do you kind of see him?
Well, as an old school cat, I hearken for the days where you could grab a Chesterfield straight, slam a bottle of beer, throw on down a dog, walk out, and call the shot.
All right, Marlboro Man.
and line one into left field that you just called by pointing your bat at the pitcher. Now, that's old school. But I think the only way to describe any people, you know, a Willie Mays or a Babe Ruth, is they were the first to do it. Mm-hmm. They did it their way, to quote Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. And Willie Mays, no one had ever seen that much athleticism. Jackie Robinson, but Willie was even more so. And so you can't compare, you know, generations and success, but what the mark they made on their respective sport, I think, is the key to define what they did and meant to the sport. Well, sorry, he was the greatest athlete in the world. The greatest athlete? My God, he had a beer gut. He had pegs for legs. But what the impact he had on the great game is what I think. And I think Peter would say the same thing.
Fair enough. Was curious.
Hey, you know what was cool about what Peter said, though? I figured he would slam all these new rules. He rolled with it, and he's 78 years old.
I'm very surprised by that. You know, but I also think even some of the older fans of the game got a little tired of guys adjusting their batting gloves for 20 seconds every pitch. You know?
I'd love to see it was Machado for that first one. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, hey, it could have been anyone. You know, I'm sure those guys have a lot of bad habits they need to break going forward.
Yeah. But Machado was good about it. He laughed at himself.
I just want to see where they draw the line with, like, the wiggling and coming to rest and that type of stuff. Like, where do you really – because I was just watching a college baseball game, which I never really do, but at the end –
Well, they're not going to have time to do that now in the bigs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The game was called over. It was two strikes left, bottom of the ninth. They had somebody on first, and the guy took a little too long to get into the box. Strike, game over.
That happened? You saw that?
Yes. It was a couple nights ago.
Oh,
now that
you know what I'm saying?
Like, in the MLB. I think they'll give them a little more time. I think it'll be a little more lenient by umpires in the major leagues, because that would be
all over.
That'd be one of those, why do you call it at the end of a game?
Why do we even play if that's going to be the final?
Yeah, that'd be, you know. Why do you don't call that hold? Why don't you call that foul in basketball at the end of the game?
Or exactly. Holding at the end of the Super Bowl.
Yep, that's exactly, another thing. That kind of thing.
Exactly. All right, fellas. So, of course, it's March Madness.
Yes, let's go.
And Mr. Negative's not here. March Sadness.
Jeez.
I hammered him last week.
Is it a little sunnier out today because Ben's not here? I don't know.
He's doing BP on the other side.
Well, no, we were talking baseball. He'd be glowing.
Exactly.
And then he'd have to walk to the bar now for this next conversation. But I'm getting really excited as I watch, you know, I'll use my team as a prime example. And the two meet today, Michigan State and Iowa. Iowa, fortunately, has enough wins already, but they've looked horrible the last two outings. They don't look like anybody that should be in the March Madness dance at all. And there's a lot of teams like that. As they say, are they trending? And who do you see trending right now that needs to turn it up this week and obviously maybe win a conference championship?
I'd start with Michigan since we're on the Big Ten topic. Michigan's been trending. They knocked us off, I think, last weekend they beat us. They went on a 10-0 run to close out. They make a little bit of noise going into the Big Ten tourney. They beat a couple more teams coming down the stretch. They have a good chance of making it in. Right now they're on the last or second four out. You're on the bubble right now.
That's
so
correct.
A couple teams just need to make a bit of a run in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten has kind of overcame the Big 12 and SEC recently. So Big Ten teams are trending. I didn't see Northwestern being the team that they are this year. They're at the top of the Big Ten power rankings right now. So
Purdue looked unbeatable for a short window during the season. And now their weaknesses have shown. They've got a lot of youth in the backcourt.
Exactly.
And, you know, they got a giant in the middle.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of teams like that. And the Big 12 is an interesting conversation as well.
The Big 12 actually kind of feels reminiscent of Big 10s of previous years in that the Big 12 has by far and away been the best of the Power Fives this season, and it could maybe come back to haunt them come March because they might cannibalize one another. I mean, they'll get a high number of teams in the bracket, and so will the Big 10, but that's been a problem for the Big 10 because they've played so many tough games down the stretch. That prepares you, and that is valuable, but it also can take it the war of attrition, you know, in any college sport. I think it'll be interesting, but I think coming back to the bubble, there are a number of teams that I've been watching that have been trying to crawl their way in. In the Big 12, West Virginia is one of the names that I've kept an eye on. USC is trending upward. Andy Enfield's got his team playing really well. Boogie Ellis has been a beast on that team. Looking across the board, you're a big Wolfpack guy, and they are having a tough time.
Why are you a Wolfpack fan? I just took that take just to kind of piss you off a little bit going into football, but now I have to double
final
down
four.
On it.
North Carolina State Wolfpack. That's his final four prediction.
Yeah, and they are struggling. They're down big time against Clemson.
They had a
right
good
now.
Start to the season, guys.
But, you know, I think there's a number of teams. Obviously, I got to mention Penn State. We had a huge win against Ohio State on the road. We have a couple winnable games coming up against Northwestern, Rutgers. Penn State's easily the first four out right now, but I see them. They're a good chance to finish the season 3-1, 4-0 potentially, and squeak their way into the tournament for the first time since 2011. So I got to give them a shout out. Micah Shrewsbury has done a great job with that program.
I know, I got to agree with you, and the fact that. And the ACC did that even in the past. It is so intense during the course of the season.
Yes.
Yep.
And you see a team come out of nowhere that didn't have a schedule like that all year long, like the brutality of the Big Ten, the ACC, SEC, and the power conferences.
Yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting point. The number one team at many times this year has been the Houston Cougars. The Houston Cougars. And Kelvin Sampson has an incredibly talented squad. From a defensive standpoint, they are going to make it a extreme rock fight. I mean, no one wants to play Houston at Houston because it's hard to get good shots off against them. However, how good are they going to be offensively when they come up against one of these Power Five conferences in March? That'll be a good question.
So my take on Houston is they were kind of like that Texas Tech team from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. They did not have much enough offensive game, but they were so disruptive on the defensive end. They basically defended their way into the champ game against Virginia. They got beat just because the sword was better than the shield there. But, I mean, they were great shooting teams. Were shooting sub-30 all tournament against them. So this is kind of the feeling I get.
And what do they say, fellas, in every sport?
Defense wins championships.
They can't, but here's the only thing.
Well, Houston did lose that. I mean, Texas Tech did lose that year, but still.
Here's the only caveat, and I'm going to throw it back to a Virginia, the only one seed to ever go down against UMBC in the tournament. The reason that defensive teams can lose, especially if they're not good enough on the offensive end, is because teams on an off night or on a super, super elite night can make it feel like Houston's been dominating an entire game. They've held you to, you know, 20 points in the first half. But if they hang around and, yeah, it feels like they're dominating, but it's only a 7-point game, you hit three shots down the stretch and you could end up how Temple ends up beating Houston at Houston. So I just feel like Houston, as good as they are, they do make me nervous because just like those Virginia teams that have been great this year, they can sometimes get upset because all it takes is a couple big threes at the right time.
It's funny you say that because I was looking at a chart, and this will probably be something cool to throw up on the Facebook, but I was looking at a chart. On the bottom side of the chart, it says 10-point streaks gone on in the season. On the top of the chart, it says 10-point streaks allowed in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Houston was not giving a lot of 10-point streaks. They were not going on these streaky score runs, a few mm-hmm. threes. What they were doing is limiting these 10-point streaks against them.
Yeah.
But if you're able to do that, like you said, that's when Houston has gotten beat this season. So
exactly.
You get a streaky team that can, you know, maybe exploit some zone defense or something like that and get a few threes out, maybe late in the mid-second half. You can beat Houston because they don't go on runs themselves to catch back up.
Exactly.
Okay, we haven't mentioned SEC teams.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk. So, I mean, first of all, we got to take a look at Florida because we're in the state of Florida. Unfortunately, Gators. Colin Castleton's injury is probably going to keep them from having a chance at saving their season yeah. in the SEC tournament.
It's tough.
But a team that we were talking about bubble teams, and we love Blue Bloods, Kentucky Wildcats are trending up.
They are right trending now. Upward right now.
They
went into Gainesville and they took care of business there.
Exactly. They got a big game today against who's Kentucky got? I'm blanking off it.
I got it right here. And these Florida teams, Florida State. Leonard Hamilton has done a superb job with that program.
Yeah.
But they're definitely not in.
Well, so they got a game against Miami. They have won their last four matchups in Miami, but they are 14.5-point dogs on the road. You know, it's been a lost season for Leonard Hamilton and the Seminoles. I don't see them coming out with the victory today. Miami is undefeated at home in Coral Gables this season. They're the top, yes. the cream of the crop in the ACC. They are one of the teams I think have a chance at winning it all in March just because they have four players scoring in double digits. They have two guys in Isaiah Wong and Nigel Patek who have been absolutely leading their backcourt. I love that Miami Hurricanes team. And I think the ACC is very top heavy. They have some really bad teams at the bottom. But I think they're going to be a really strong team come March. And it's been a tough season for the Seminoles. So that'll be a fun little Florida matchup we got.
Wildcats and Sir Charles.
Thank you. Auburn. That's a huge game. Two bubble teams. Both need a win. Auburn's been inconsistent, but they've shown really good stretches at times during the season. Kentucky is on the upward swing, so you know I'd like them today, but they've been one of the most disappointing teams. I mean, alongside Armando Bacot and the North Carolina Tar Heels, teams that we thought coming into the season, you know, when you get guys like Armando Bacot and Davis back, and then you get, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe, the player of the year. How rare is that?
That astounds me. Exactly. You got the player of the year, comes back, and they've had this kind of a season.
Hasn't happened since Tyler Hansbrough with the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, my God, that's old school.
And look, they haven't found that their guard play has been really, really inconsistent. They've started to switch it up. Calipari's made the adjustments he's needed to. I think
calling for his job.
Yeah, well, that's the people that aren't tuned in. Not the people that aren't tuned in. You know, if you're watching Kentucky basketball, you realize that is not going to happen. But if it's still the sexy ESPN headline to say John Calipari.
So wait. Yeah. You weren't worried. I mean, when the season started.
No.
Massive losses.
No. I'm still not worried about. I'm still, as much as I'm worried about UNC, I can't worry about them. You know, they don't play like a senior laden team. They have all these guys like Puff Johnson. Even you know, they have these good players that have been to a national title game, but they don't play like it. They take dumb shots early in the shot clock. They turn the ball over. They have not impressed me. But at the same time, you have to lean on veteran experience in the tournament. You know,
well, that's why you think they've got veterans. Typically, you'd be saying about a Kentucky team, well, they're all freshmen. They're all that was their MO, you know, one and done.
Yeah.
But that's not the case with this team.
No.
Maybe they need to go back to one and done.
Maybe. I mean, maybe Calipari's lost it on how to coach the veterans. You know, he's seen too much of them. But look, I still think that ultimately those are the teams you don't want to face in March. And some of the teams like maybe Fair. Purdue that have cruised haven't, you know, they've put a great Big Ten schedule and they've played well. But like you said, they have some young guards that take bad shots at the times. In Zach Edey, if he goes up against another big like a Tshiebwe or a Drew Timmy, you know, they have found ways to double. I mean,
and those guys are more athletic than he is quite considerably.
Exactly.
It reminds me of Luca at Iowa that's now playing, I think he's in the Timberwolves organization, yeah.
Luka Garza, yeah. Right. I mean, the thing, there's some really good bigs in college basketball this year. You got Hunter Dickinson, you got Oscar Tshiebwe, you got some Bullis out in Arizona.
Hunter's sweet for like 5 minutes every game, and that's it.
Hunter Dickinson is, I would still be, hey, look, Penn State doesn't have a big man. I'd be very happy to have Hunter Dickinson in my program.
That's fair.
But look, I think there's some really good big men across college basketball. I think it's going to be really fun come March to see, you know, Armando Bacot mentioned him earlier, see who rises to the top when we get there. But we're a week and a half.
I got a question. Two story programs that we talked about, you know, the value now of Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, are the glory days that they expected and demand at both those programs. Are those in the rearview mirror with these two coaches they have?
No, the profile's still there. The legacy is still there. Still attracts. It's like the Lakers. It's just like the Lakers. Of course, Kobe left, and we had some issues with the front office there. But it was revitalized with just the injection of LeBron and a couple other names there. I see the same thing here. All you need to do is either have the right coach or the right player, and we're back. I mean, Dukies aren't going anywhere. UNC, those fans aren't. Kentucky guys, look, calling for Calipari's job, sure, I get it. My dad went to Louisville, though. So I know the culture down there.
And they're not happy now.
They're not happy at all. No, Louisville's down bad. But the culture is still rich. I mean, the state of Kentucky has one of the biggest monopolies on NCAA trophies, I think, in college basketball. So, I mean, like I said, yeah, it's not over.
And if you want to talk about teams on the upswing, Duke basketball, they have looked great as of late. I mean, Kyle Filipowski is rounding out into an absolute stud. Derek Lively has progressed. He should have been a Penn Stater. He's from right outside of State College, but he obviously chose Duke. Can't fault him for that. But John Shires really helped his own. And just like Hubert Davis did with that UNC team, they're a young team, and he built them up over the course of the season. And now you don't want to play Duke. I mean, they just rolled over Syracuse 77-55. They rolled Louisville. They got a big game against Virginia Tech coming up tonight. They got NC State. Look, I think Duke is one of those teams you don't want to face in March, especially because of the Jeremy Roach. They have some guys that are vets, but they also have some really talented young guys.
And tradition.
That comes big. Blue Bloods. You know, we get a little caught up on the jersey
stuff. I say the same thing about Kansas often. When people
that's my best team in the country right now, Kansas.
That's your.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know if they'll go back to back, but I think the way that Kansas has played all season has been without a doubt. And I've never seen a team. They lost 70% of their scoring from last year into this year, and they've still maintained such a high level of basketball. Bill Self has that team playing incredible. Grady Dick has been the engine. He's been the straw that stirs the drink in Kansas. I love Brock Shock Jayhawks.
That's a metaphor or analogy. I don't want to skip over too much of the SEC. We're talking about the Blue Bloods for sure.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the fact that Florida, yes, LeCastleton out. He was a big reason they beat Tennessee a couple weeks back. That injury, they plan that's going to come. He's going to heal from that before the season's out. They've got a shot of actually still maintaining their spot, maybe creeping up a little bit more. They're not on the last four out, but they're not too far off. I also want to mention something else. Tennessee. Tennessee was our best team in the SEC maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Bama was a close second. Now Bama has that top spot. But Tennessee is on the last five games, has only beaten Alabama. Lost to Vanderbilt, lost to Missouri, lost to Kentucky, lost to Texas A&M.
I've watched three or four of those games.
They're a team that's trending in the wrong direction at the wrong time.
Or this is the time to have that happen.
Yes.
And I'm saying that about my Iowa Hawkeyes. I mean, if there's a time of the year you want it to happen, it's right now because they know they're in the dance.
Yeah, that's true.
And Tennessee lost back-to-back games on buzzer beaters against Vanderbilt and Missouri. I mean, that some of that regression to the mean of unluckiness, I think, just happened.
And they were in Nashville, I mean, and you know, exactly. That was a big game. Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue this. We'll take a break here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay. barbwithtampabay@gmail.com or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today. 813-564-4134.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Berg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub. Yeah.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. We wind things down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on a very active every Saturday is active down here at 13th and Central. We've got a gymnastics, I guess the biggest in the country. That's what where all the people are coming from over at the Trop. It's
always something going on down here.
Yeah, unbelievable. I thought maybe the Twins had some problems with their facilities and then they moved it to Tropicana Field, the opener today. But it's a gymnastic tournament. We're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages, and, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Beer. And then we've got Big Storm coming in a big way as well on the Tee Florida show. Hey, fellas, I protected for it. I don't know if I gave you this. I might have emailed you. I can't believe it wasn't out there. We're going to launch the streaming channel, and when we did some experimentation last Saturday, FloridaSportsStream.com was not protected, and that's the UR. That's the sports. It's
untapped market, man. We're first comers.
Exactly. We're going to kick butt. Like Apple. And these guys are going to be our number one broadcast each and every week. It's Alex Reba and Big Oscar Garner III, Big Game, O and the X-Men.
It's gamer to you.
Alex Gamer, I got to get that changed. Alex Gamer. Well, you are a gamer. So let's talk some more games. All right. Take it away, Alex.
I want to give a live sports update, 82-72. Spartans over. I just want to read these live tweets
real quick. Who cares? No one cares.
Disgusting to let MSU shoot 60% over the entire game. MSU versus Iowa is prime. Defense is optional.
with Iowa, I was ready to play in the NBA already. I mean, they don't play D. No D. And as tough as you think Fran McCaffrey looks and acts, he's never had a defensive ball club.
They're just getting ready for when they're all stars one day. That's, glorified layup lines. But let's go back into college basketball.
All right. So, yeah, let's jump back into what we got going on today. We got 130 games on the slate today. So if you have nothing to do on a Saturday, come down to Ferg's, and we got plenty of college basketball action. But there's three ranked matchups between two ranked teams. We want to focus on those. Number 8, Texas, is going to go into Waco against number 9, Baylor. Baylor are 4-point favorites at the Farrell Center today at 2 p.m. on ESPN. Tonight at Mackey Arena, a rematch of such a great matchup that was earlier in the season between Indiana, who's ranked 17 right now. Trace Jackson Davis is doing a heck of a job leading that Indiana team back into prominence against number 5, Purdue, Zach Edey, one of the players of the year. Both of them, Trace Jackson Davis and Edey, are in that conversation. That's going to be in West Lafayette, Indiana at 7:30 on Fox tonight. And then the late night capper, we have St. Mary's, the 15th ranked team in the nation, playing number 12, Gonzaga. Drew Timmy leads that team. They're 5-point favorites tonight at 10 o'clock on ESPN. From the McCarthy Athletic Center in Spokane. I'm so excited for all three of those games. We've talked about we got some Florida matchups between Miami and Florida State. We got FAU and FIU playing. Heck, we even got South Florida at 4 o'clock in the Yingling Center, taking on SMU. You know, their season isn't over. Hopefully they could get a little run going in the American Conference, and we could see a little Tampa college basketball in March. You never know.
A little AAC action.
Exactly.
Did you mention we got a little in-state Arizona versus Arizona State? Did you mention that as well?
I did not imagine that.
Number 7 Arizona's going. Got a little in-state rivalry going on today too. That's going to be in 10 minutes. So
Oregon State playing tonight. Another good game.
Near and dear to me, my heart, my friend's assistant coach and head coach, a friend of mine, Creighton, the Blue Jays and Villanova.
Creighton has been another team that's on the upswing. I think they're one of the top teams on the upswing. They started the season off abhorrent. I think they lost like 4 or 5 straight really bad.
Well, they started preseason ranked top 10.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm getting a hold of Jeffy and all, and I'm saying, hey, rock and roll, boys.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they lost like 5 or 6 in a row.
Well, they're struggling against Villanova right now, down 16. But Villanova's a team that's trying to play their way. Creighton, I would say, has pretty much secured their spot in the tournament
as of now.
Barring if they lose early in the Big East tournament, I would not call them 100% safe, depending on if some steeled bids come through from some lesser-known conferences. But Villanova, they're trying to play their way in. With a win today, they'd become 500 in the Big East, and a nice little run under first-year coach Kyle Neptune could see the Wildcats back into to March, which you never want to see the Wildcats in March.
Creighton is definitely one of those schools that they love March.
Yeah.
They really figure it out. I love to see their, like, what are they, usually around like a 12 or 11, and you take them in the first round. Over
absolutely.
Coach
Greg McDermott, he was at Iowa State and the University of Northern Iowa, great guy and a great program. And you know what's sad about Creighton here, you know, private school, no football. Ball. And here's Nebraska, just a juggernaut back in the day in all sports. Freddie Hoiberg's at the helm there, and Creighton just piss pounds them. It's sad.
Yep. So, I mean, I think we got an exciting slate of college basketball. We got about a week and a half left until we start getting into conference tournaments, and that's when things get real exciting. We got 3 days until March, the best month of the year, in my opinion. So I am absolutely thrilled.
How long have you guys worked at Raymond James?
Going on about a year and a half.
Oh. Yeah, a year and a half now.
And not long enough to be taking that week off.
No, I don't have that time.
Using sick days because they know what you guys would be doing.
We'll put it like this. We'll be working from home.
They know what you guys would be doing.
Man. So, yeah, I mean, I think the tournament's going to be absolutely thrilling this year because there is no big heavy. We've talked about it on previous shows. There's no singular team you can look at. I think Alabama has been probably the most consistent team up to this point, but they're going through a lot of controversy with the Brandon Miller and Darius Miles.
I don't think that's going to be a diversion for them.
You don't. I think it's going to be a huge diversion because they continue to have to tiptoe around it. It's pretty. The charges against Brandon Miller have really continued to emerge as being very serious. So if he's lost at any point during this season, that team takes a massive step back. He's in the Player of the Year conversation right now. He dropped 41 the other night. It's to be determined how that program shakes out. It doesn't seem like Nate Hotz has handled it in the best kind of way, at least being forward with the media. So, I mean, it's tough.
Here's the thing. Is there another shoe to drop? This is why I agree with you. Is it really going to impact their season, especially going into the tournament? Is there another shoe that's really, like, do we really see another shoe dropping that's going to take this away from them?
Teams play through
adversity all the time.
I don't like a team that has outside noise coming into March.
On any topic.
I mean, on the front page,
especially because of the media world we live in right now.
Yeah.
They're not letting that story die.
And it's not a small program. Like, you know, if New Mexico State has the hazing allegations and they shut down the season completely. You know, New Mexico State, I don't think too many people can even tell you their nickname of the Aggies. Alabama, that's front page news just based off the football program alone. So in their college basketball program,
who wouldn't know they're the Aggies and New Mexico's the Lobos? Come on.
New Mexico State. It was New Mexico State.
I know. I said that. I'm so sad. I knew the
Aggies were the Lobos. I think plenty of people could mix that up. Many might have just done it. Yeah. So that's my point. I'm saying Alabama, that's front page news. That's big whenever they're going through a massive front page story like the one they're going through. So I just get nervous when I hear about a team like that. So that's why my pick at this point in the season would be Kansas to go back to back. I hate picking a team to go back to back, but they have been so strong in the best conference. Jalen Wilson's a Player of the Year candidate. I really like.
I don't care. You say Bill Self, you know, he has his own issues as well. And I've met him many times in the Midwest at events and down at in Lawrence. But the bottom line is,
I don't
is,
see how you can have a take right now. We haven't seen tournament play.
I want to give a take. That's my current team. If you made me put a gun to my head, pick a team, that's where I'm going. I'd like to at least have something pick on the record, team. You know? I think there's a handful of teams that could win this year, and are more than a handful, and I think that makes it really exciting. But also, there isn't a team to really root against. Which
Who are the top four good. Seeds, then? Can you go there?
The top four seeds. Well, Houston's number one right now. Kansas is number three. Alabama's number two. And then number four is the one that's escaping me. I want to say, is that maybe UConn's not up there right now, right?
No. It's not UConn.
We'll get you that answer in a second. But I would say... Purdue's five. UCLA's four. Found it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
UCLA, see, that's a team that I don't know what to expect because I always kind of discount the Pac-12's strength. They actually have some pretty strong teams this year. Yeah, Arizona and Utah.
At the end of the day, USC, UCLA the last several years.
They haven't come through, yeah.
They get to beat up on their own conference too much for me to care about
but
what they're doing.
Man, I really like this UCLA team. They got a big game against Colorado tomorrow on the road that if they can continue their momentum would be a nice win. I really like that UCLA team behind Jaime Hawkins Jr. He can score in bunches, and Tiger Campbell, they've been there. They went on that nice little run a couple of years ago in March, so I could easily see them making some noise when we get into the tournament. And I also want to throw out UConn behind Adama Samogo. I mean, that guy has been – I probably butchered that name. Apologies there, but I love that
UConn. Don't ever say that when it sounded like you knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah. But I know
– Hold off your tongue.
I got people that are listening, and they're going to be like, how could you? I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been misspoken many times.
No, they're not. Exactly. No, they're not because I'm on this, Mike, and then they're like, oh, my God, you're 1,000 times better than that cat.
I'm a perfectionist. You know,
just let it roll off your tongue.
You know. Anyways, I love that UConn team. I think they're on a really good stretch of form right now. I think they could make some noise come March time. So, yeah, I mean, we've named so many teams, and I still don't think there's one that's clearing away above everyone. But if I had to pick someone, I really like that Kansas team. That's where I'm at right now.
Give me a take on somebody who... They're right sleeper. Outside that bubble. Yep. They're right outside that bubble of super
that
relevant.
That could win, or that could just make it in the tournament, you're saying?
Win. No, that could win. That could win. And I'm not talking about like a first four out team. I'm talking about somebody
who's
like maybe
win.
5-10.
You know what? I'd love to say Indiana.
I'd
love to
absolutely.
Say Indiana.
I really like Indiana.
You know, if they win today against Purdue,
you just did your best Paul Sally. Look, you just did a Paul Sally.
I agree with him so much because of the path that they can take. Right now, they're slated to get Oral Roberts in the first round. If they can avoid mm-hmm. what they did last year, they can see Iowa State or Yale. Then they can go possibly see Houston. Or if they can beat Houston, they could possibly be a Final Four team out of nowhere.
The Bobby Knight world reignites. And they win it all.
They're hungry. That Indiana team is hungry for basketball relevancy again. And Trayce Jackson-Davis has brought them back to that. And again, if they can beat Purdue tonight at Mackey, that would mean a lot in my brain. And I think UConn might be in that kind of discussion too. That they've been in that top five at points this season. Indiana was, I think, the preseason pick to win the Big Ten. They've fallen off, but then they've come back. That's what you got to see. You got to look at the totality, the body of work, the teams. If they've been able to stay consistent, they've gone through rough patches, but they've come out the other side. I think that's a really relevant point when we get to trying to make your bracket. I think free throw percentage I always look at, good defensive teams that aren't too reliant on three-point shooting, and teams that have, throughout the season, battled through adversity. I think those are really critical coming this time of year.
Well, fellas, you've done a lot of preparation, and I'm looking forward to getting your podcast so that you're not mad at me every week when I'm telling you the topics are yours. But
we got to get it going, man. We got to get it going.
We're ready to go.
You guys are chomping at the bit with your NBA content.
Oh, man. We're missing out. We're missing out.
Well, you're going to be a stat man for the race, so you're going to be on offense.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited.
For Triton Women's Softball, Chris Blackwell, congratulations on making it to the Final Four at St. Pete High. Jake Perper, Peter Gollenbach, Alex Reba, Oscar Garner III, Joe Bedrow, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.